bob your head.
I don't like
but
this.
Do it down here.
I know. It seemed a little...
I don't like that in porn.
No. Why would you?
I like the lady to have control. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Autopod Decepticast, your bi-weekly podcast that delivers an episode-by-episode breakdown of the original G1 series. It is APDC episode number 165, and we're covering episode number 58 of the Transformers series, an episode titled Aerial Assault that aired December 10th, 1985. This is your host, Aaron, and who needs a proper show intro? Certainly not I, so I'd like to introduce two men who have an explanation for why underwear dick holes exist. Give it up for Ryan and Caleb.
So you pull your penis out and urinate through it.
Or you have someone else that can access it.
What? Well, that's by far a weirder explanation.
So going in through the waistline in both of those situations is not the way to handle it.
Don't you wear boxers, first of all?
I wear boxer briefs. They have dick holes. Boxers have dick holes.
Yeah, exactly. You're telling me you unbuckle your pants and pull the underwear down every time you pee?
Yes.
Well, that's insane.
Well, I'm not always wearing pants that have buckles. I just pull the whole top down and...
Man, I got things to do. Can't be doing all kinds of snaps.
Do you do it through the dick hole?
Nope, never have.
All right, you and I are on the same page.
Yep.
I just unzip my fly and there it is. Zip, boom, bonjour.
But when she goes in for the handy, you just unzip the fly and it goes in through the jeans hole, the dick hole.
That's right.
Okay.
What prom-ass situation are you getting hand jobs with your pants on?
Proms.
Oh, no.
Guys, this episode is structured around a majestic sort of Greek-Roman mythological creature. What's your favorite mythological creature?
The cockatrice.
Chupacabra.
What's
more of a cryptid?
What's the cockatrice?
Cockatrice is like a rooster dragon. It's the great good mythical morning thing. But
I didn't know that was a real thing.
It's not. It's a mythological thing.
Well, I mean, I didn't know it was a real mythological
right.
thing.
Right. I used to have a book on monsters, and that was one that I always found interesting. It's a giant bird.
And it breathes fire.
Yep.
All right. And you like the chupacabra?
Chupacabra.
Which is just a sick dog.
I've never even actually pondered it. I should have come up with an answer. How about jackalope?
Or the mythological fair person on the internet. Someone arguing from a place of good faith.
No. Why would you need that?
I'll say, not too many spoilers about this episode, but...
They could have used a creature more appropriate to the desert in the Middle East, like a lizard or a camel or scorpion or something. But
just
or not have that at all.
Because it doesn't do anything.
If you're listening to this, we're at TFCon right now.
That's right, Baltimore, baby.
Man, what are we doing? We probably ate some crabs.
Oh, I am going to get all of the seafood.
Is this coming out on a Sunday? I'm already home.
Yep. Caleb decided to stay for 8 hours in Baltimore.
Yep. I'm back home.
How is it? How was your flight?
Oh, it was early. I had to get on. My flight departed at 6:30 Eastern time in Baltimore. I'm back home by lunchtime.
Damn.
This is something I wanted to ask you. You said something about not being able to stay because of your kids, but couldn't your parents watch your kids?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll just have them do that.
Why not?
Are you the parent man here?
I'm the parent, man.
It was a combination of having to be back for work and having my parents watched the kids already since Thursday. So you know they have things to do too, and I don't like to push my luck.
I feel like retired people exist to take care of non-retired people's children.
We had to be back for work too.
I understand.
I don't, but it's fine.
No, I like. Yeah, I mean, it's my own thing, man.
What are we looking forward to about TFCon, whether it's Baltimore related or TFCon related?
To seeing the people that I'm always looking forward to the fans. I love the fans, the adoring fans.
I like walking the dealer room, like seeing the art and the artwork and stuff.
I can
like that.
Walk that infinitely.
Yeah,
that's my favorite.
I wonder
if
they'll do it like DC where it's two separate.
Oh, rooms. Like the artist alleys in another room? I don't know.
I honestly don't even know what kind of panels are happening.
That's because they don't tell you until like 6 minutes before they occur.
Well, no, I think we got plenty of heads up, or gave plenty of heads up on our thing. It was at least a month or two out.
But still seems like not a lot of time. But then I'm a person who needs things planned out as far in advance as possible. Like, I don't even... If I have not planned to do it a week in advance, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to catching up with the friends we've made over time.
Speaking of our friends who won't be there, but I just wanted to say really quick a congratulations to our friends Bono and Mandy, who recently got engaged.
Ding!
Which is interesting. It was funny because Bono made a post bemusing the fact that a lot of people thought they were already married because they bought a house and have two cats.
Why buy the cow? What?
Why buy the mouse when you got the cow for free?
Seriously, congratulations. We need to get them back on the show. I know Mandy, she's a little shy about being on. We need to force her to be on the program.
Hopefully we'll be able to see them next time TFCon comes to Chicago.
Yeah.
If.
It usually comes every couple of years.
They'll make that announcement at the end of this one.
Yeah.
That announcement may have been had by the time you're listening to
on
this.
On Sunday, usually.
God, this is dated
that.
Material.
Stale ass.
Ryan, pour us something that would get us arrested in Kuwait. That's anything. Anything you pour us would get us arrested in Kuwait.
Baby blood.
Only if it had alcohol in it.
I'm pretty sure you can't get just baby's blood.
Mike Seibert, he's been doing a lot of Transformers content lately, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. The whole thing with the movie coming out in the theaters, he's been all over that. He made a comment... on his episode where a lot of people his age just really weren't into going out and seeing the other release. And I honestly didn't have interest in seeing it. I've already, of course, Mike, I get it. Mike's seen it a lot, likes to watch it over and over again.
His favorite movie.
I saw it once again in the theaters, and that's it for me. I'm fine with not going and seeing it again in the theater.
And it feels like we just did it. Even though it was clearly 5 years ago. Was it 5 years ago?
No, it was like 20.
That was just, you're right. It wasn't to celebrate a 30th. It was definitely after our first TFCon.
The point is,
I don't think it was hitting some kind of milestone for them. But yeah, Seibert's got an episode here on the screening, Fathom Events, toy leaks, what does Transformers mean to you, and a whole thing on the Victory Saber. And Rewind episodes concerning his Cybefest Northwest. And if you scroll through all that, the first non-Transformers thing is me talking about Coming of Age with Michael Andrews.
Yep.
Ryan, what do we got?
Yo.
It's about that time.
I tried to find something that was a Halloween-themed cocktail, because this will be our Halloween episode. But they're all pretty chronically awful and super sweet, and I should have made up my own, but I didn't. So speaking of our friends, I took this from our friend Harper. He had this cocktail during the summer. They put it on Twitter. So this is Harper's Aerial Assault Cocktail. Our friend Harper from More Than Meets the Pod, which is on kind of a hiatus for a long time. I asked if I could include this as one of our episode cocktails, and he was like, yeah, I'd be very excited about that. And the backbone of this is ouzo, which is anise-flavored aperitif from Greece, which is about as close as I could get to an easily accessible Middle Eastern kind of liquor.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a half an ounce or 15 mils of lime juice, a half an ounce of simple syrup, 2 ounces, 60 mils of gin, 3/4 ounce, 22 mils of ouzo, and a splash of Angostura, and shake all the ingredients with ice, and then pour over fresh ice into a cocktail glass and top with tonic water, and then garnish with a slice of lime.
It looks cool. Shall we cheers? Ouzo.
Bink.
Everything's awkward. Shout out to Harper and Kit. In all sincerity, the podcasting community misses you.
It's true. And if you haven't listened to More Than Meets the Pod, go out and listen to their back catalog. It's pretty good stuff.
It's great. Mm. It's refreshing.
I don't think you said that last time, or on the next episode.
It wasn't, well, because it was good, but I wouldn't call it refreshing.
I love this. This is definitely more of a summer cocktail, but...
I didn't hear you say you put a... Did you put a spritz of...
Absinthe
in it?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Is that... That can't be coming from the bitters.
You're probably just tasting the ouzo, which is anise flavored.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, well, there we go.
Which I said...
Thanks, Ryan.
Hey, you're welcome. Harper's Aerial Assault Cocktail. Sorry, it's in just a shitty episode.
Ryan does not like this episode.
I fucking hated it. I was so angry.
You said it's boring?
It's super boring.
Yeah.
And nothing matters, and there are no stakes.
I think it's a weird one. I like making fun of it.
Yeah.
And so let's
this
do it.
This is another good situation where Douglas Booth is on my shit list.
Last episode recap.
Fucking Steel City, motherfucker.
The cons got cars, autos got arrows. It was a topsy-turvy world that ended with two new teams and two new giant robots that I'm sure we'll never see again in season two.
It's all aerial bots all the time.
So let's kick off Aerial Assault. Douglas Booth, Towai, prepare for takeoff. Who'd have thought with a name like Aerial Assault, we'd already be picking more fruit from the aerial bot orchard?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad this is my birthday episode, too. Just in time for my 44th.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Ryan.
We're in some kind of generic or unknown Middle Eastern country. Our clues are desert, and we have a castle city with bulbous Persian domes and pointy arches. Caleb, history's your game. Where are we?
Well, we're kind of in a mashup here. Definitely in the Middle East. You could call it Syria. You could call it Saudi Arabia. You could call it
whatever.
You could call it Iraq. The Sphinx. The use of this. I call it the Sphinx. It's a griffin that's kind of built like the Sphinx. You're getting into some Babylonian references there.
One of the characters does later use an Ottoman Turkish phrase.
Yeah.
But hard to know.
Yeah, you're in that cradle of civilization.
They all speak English. Does that tell us anything about?
But they say it with they do speak it with an Arabic accent.
That's true.
I thought this episode was going to be a lot more problematic than it was. It actually is fairly innocuous.
Yeah, it is. We go to a bazaar.
This is not the Carbamia episode, everybody.
Right. No. There's some trade transpiring. Rugs are on sale. after the theft of a motorcycle wheel by some spike-looking Ottoman teen, we see some men drive up in a suspicious purple and orange Jeep. Why would you paint your Jeep in such a way? These men seem to be conducting some kind of black market business, loading what appears to be heavy equipment into a cargo truck.
This is so weird, because first of all, it opens up like the movie Aladdin, except instead of bread, he's stealing a tire.
Right.
And then I'm really super confused because there's this random junk pile. First of all, the guy's mad that the kid stole the tire, but then throws it on a junk pile. And then these guys show up, like you said, Aaron, rummaging through the junk pile and seem to find like a missile and a piece of a jet engine.
Mm-hmm.
What?
As we get along here, we're going to find a lot of really convoluted sort of concepts.
It's like they had a wheel that they were throwing darts at and just had it. What's this? Oh, okay, they're stealing jet parts. Make it to cars? Oh, okay, that makes sense. There's a griffin. Oh, fuck, how are we going to work that in? Also, not to mention that this episode is created and aired in a really weird order, which we'll get into a little bit in script deviations.
I can even tell. I mean, the episode we'll see is, I can see the animators had a hard time distinguishing who was saying what sometimes.
And there's a lot of that.
They didn't know how to cut stuff. Yeah, I can see even the animators struggled with the storyline itself.
There's
everything about this is just not good.
It's kind of a do-over script-wise. Regarding the motorcycle wheel, we know at this point that the thing that's happening is that jets are being disassembled and turned into cars and then turned into jets again later. How did a motorcycle wheel get in the mix?
That's why they threw it on the junk pile.
What is this?
But why did they take apart a motorcycle?
It's bizarre.
It's a
bizarre. They're in a bazaar.
How bizarre. The aerial bots are cruising over the town. I guess have clearance to be in this airspace. They're conducting reconnaissance to determine why so many airplanes have been stolen around these parts. The boys throw some weird shade about regular planes, but before we can get into it, SOS, there's an emergency. A landslide at the far end of the canyon. Call Prime. We may need help rescuing any trapped survivors.
Happy to see some season one guys show up, because the Aerobots are annoying and dumb.
They are. None too bright.
They're no Dinobots.
They certainly aren't.
They approach the rockfall and discover it's a trap. Combaticons. Who are they? Combaticons. Just go with it.
Yeah, that's just speaking of that's what one of the things I meant when I said it's confused chronologically, because the Combaticons just show up with no introduction and everybody knows who they are.
Yeah, and they have a proper intro episode.
Yeah, like three episodes late.
That was produced after this.
Very weird.
We are doing this in production order. You could make it doesn't make sense that this was produced after the Combaticon intro, but hey. That's the world we live in. The new foes include some kind of tank with extra cannons on it, some kind of truck with cannons on it, a helicopter with cannons, and a space shuttle.
With weapons that don't appear, but lasers that do.
All that's admittedly strange. The space shuttle's painted purple and brown, so that's kind of cool.
Another bite at the space shuttle apple. I guess that Astrotrain wasn't enough.
Right. Also, Dirge is here. For some reason.
I like how that explosion just stopped happening. Yeah. So the Combaticons are fighting the Aerobots.
Mm-hmm. We take evasive action, and then we don't. There's some witty banter about a turkey shoot. There's a cave entrapment. The new bad guys have cool Germanish accents.
I do like their voices, I will say that. Yeah. Especially Blastoff's voice.
Yeah, Blastoff has the best voice. I agree. They're starting to get the upper hand until that they being the Combaticons are starting to get the upper hand until Prime, Hoist, Jazz, and Ratchet show up. The tide is turned and the Decepticons retreat. The Autobots need to rescue Slingshot, who is buried alive. Prime, Silverbolt, and Skydive create this convoluted archway to lift the rocks into the sky so Hoist can enter the cavern, pull Slingshot out.
What the fuck am I watching? I will try to capture this video and put it up like on our Twitter and on our web. Well, I can't. The unfortunate part about posting video to our website is that it has to be either Vimeo or a YouTube link. So that's kind of annoying. But this is this image is so stupid.
It's a bad strategy. And then he gets buried himself.
Mm-hmm. You would just move the rocks.
Yeah.
It took more effort to do this.
Well, it's a bizarre thing where Prime and Silverbolt are holding up. I think that's... I don't remember his name. Another guy.
Skydive.
And into like this weird like sentient mining support system.
It's like a team building. It's a team building exercise.
And then yeah, it is. And then yeah, they pull Slingshot out. Hoist pulls Slingshot out, and then buries the other aerial bot.
It's a team building exercise. This team lost. The other team.
Yeah, I'd love to see their Lego castle that they make with one person blindfolded and the others describing what to do. Oh my God. Okay, go ahead.
Well, the Autobots are heading back to what is presumably one of the Middle Eastern air bases. Ratchet is repairing Slingshot. And I just realized that Slingshot must be from fucking Long Island or something. Anyway, he's repaired except for his weapon systems. Meanwhile, Skydive has a ringer of an idea. He should pose as a plane at this base. So the next time the thieves show up, then the Aerobots will know who those thieves are. And since Slingshot doesn't have shit going on, he'll park here with him.
So, yeah. Before that, the way they get Slingshot back to this warehouse is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
It's Hoist towing him in plane mode behind him with a cable. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't he just transform and be put inside Ratchet or even Prime's trailer?
Maybe he was too weak to transform.
All right, we'll go with that.
I mean, it's dumb. I'm just, you asked.
It's just the image is so ridiculous.
Yeah. But they're helping. He's helping. See, I think the Autobots just decide that they have a philosophy of like, let's help them. And no matter how dumb the solution is, we're still helping.
We are 7 minutes, basically at this point, 7 minutes into this episode, and everything that's happened up until like the last 30 seconds could have been skipped.
It's all questionable too. All the decisions made are questionable. Like, it's not weird at all that these two planes with Autobot symbols that look nothing like the other planes are just here.
As some kind of like, yeah, they're going to go undercover.
Undercover, man.
Maybe if I pretended to be a regular jet, I could get stolen by the plane nappers as well as...
Good thinking, Skydive.
Right.
He just interrupts Skydive.
There's a lot of that where the sentences just end and like later on.
I get a weird feeling like the whole episode to me feels like they had a much longer script or and they just... cut it down but hard cuts
or like they had like four scripts or a two-parter that they just crammed everything together
exactly
either way the animation models are on point the like the everything is really sharp drawing wise
I think the animators had a hard time trying to like deal like what are we doing now
and guess what in script deviations we'll talk about how there were like three more scenes that never made it to
there
air too
there you go. That makes sense
guess what They don't have her either. Like, they don't make it any clearer.
If there's one thing this episode needs, it's more ambiguity. It's nightfall. Somehow, a huge crew of airplane thieves infiltrated the hangar. And I guess Skydive and Slingshot fell asleep because they are 80% disassembled along with all the other planes in the hangar.
Yeah.
They try to radio for help, but their transmitter has already been plundered. Everything's being put in laundry trucks, and as those trucks pull away from the hangar with the stolen hardware, Skydive and Slingshot acknowledge they're on their own, and we go to commercial.
They got themselves totally into this situation. So bad. They just let themselves get cut up.
It's also really weird to see them disassembled and still talking and shit. That's very strange. Not to mention that the parts that are disassembled turn into almost a half of the robot later, but...
They're just a torsos with heads, but no
arms,
no appendages.
Yeah,
actually,
I'm just even going to leave it aside the fact that they're talking and nobody's hearing them.
Right,
but I just let that go.
The laundry trucks pull up outside the bazaar. They move the plane parts in using these laundry trucks. The scam is that they want to use these stolen plane parts to create
cars.
It's like, man, these. I guess it's not suspicious because I guess the people that are normally at this base just go through a lot of fucking laundry.
Well,
that's a lot of laundry trucks.
There's a great question as to why they bring this all back to the bazaar as opposed to some like headquarters.
Yeah.
Because they are like, we have to be gone by dawn.
Yeah, they could have done this in the middle of the desert.
Mm-hmm. And then they look at the parts that are the Autobots and say that they're too complex to be made into cars.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
And so
at this point, I thought maybe they were just turning the planes into cars and that was the thing.
Mm-hmm. But no, it's way dumber than that. Like, I wrote here in my notes, am I in hell? Did I die?
You ask that every day, though.
Yeah, I mean, but more, it's more like, when will I die?
Yeah. This one in particular, though, you're like, I'm really thinking I really am in hell now. I think I really did die.
And the cars they build look like they were designed by Homer Simpson.
They have sort of a...
Jalopy.
Yeah, a Mad Max meets Homer Simpson, the Homer vibe about them. They found the torsos of Skydive and Slingshot. They didn't understand the technology. So those just get thrown back on a laundry truck to return it without a receipt.
So I'm looking at this again for the first time. Like, I'm looking at these cars. They are ridiculous looking. Are they laundering the parts by converting, taking the pieces, turning them into automobiles, and then using that to smuggle them into converting them back into jet planes?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, and I just had a thought. The only value add for turning them into cars is there's a checkpoint we're going to come to later.
Yeah, they have to smuggle them over some kind of border.
But I also don't understand the checkpoint because... They could have just taken those plane parts directly to the palace and put the planes back together there. Or they could have just flown the planes from the hangar to the palace.
I don't think they know how to fly the planes.
I do like the guard when we get to him, how he's like, he basically is revealing. The exposition's really funny. Like, oh, you're totally setting yourself up here. All right.
Meanwhile, we've got our Turkish Spike stand-in.
Uh-huh.
Once again spying on these black market pirates, the thugs once again throw him out of their work area. But this young man is intrigued by their secrecy. The thieves have used airplane parts to build some funky looking automobiles. We don't know why. And Swindle, one of the Compaticons, we know he's involved. These pirates of the sand set off on a convoy through the desert. They're followed on a motorcycle by our keffiyeh-clothed cousin of Spike, who ramps up inside a laundry truck and discovers the torsos of Skydive and Slingshot.
I have to hand it to him. He's got some skills on that motorcycle.
He's pretty badass.
Yeah.
I like him better than Spike.
Yeah, I do too.
Maybe he can just take over.
I think Carly would be a lot more interested in him than Spike.
He looks exactly like Spike, though. His face design.
Maybe it is Spike.
Twist. He's just come here trolling for...
Ooh.
Ooh.
The aerial bots and this young man make nice. It turns out this kid is Hassan, a popular Twitch streamer and left-wing political commentator.
Oh, wait.
But he's also out to sting that Scorpion Ali, who is the person in charge of this whole plane theft operation. Ali and the convoy are continuing to travel toward their destination. It's some villa in Istanbul or Constantinople. That's nobody's business. But Megatron, who is staying in this villa and behind the whole goddamn plane theft scheme, it turns out.
They're making Megatron a drone plane army.
Yeah. He's overseeing the construction of that. We also learn that Ali deposed a prince, Prince Jamal, and that this is Prince Jamal's palace. And that's all well and good, but Megatron is not going to reward him until he's gained control over all the Middle Eastern oil fields. All of them. Throughout Megatron's communication, we see the Coneheads and Combaticons, and we see them hauling weapons, attaching them to planes.
Uh-huh.
Did I skip over this checkpoint? No, Ali is stopped at a checkpoint of some type. There's a weird exchange with the guard who lets him through with some weird banter about why would Prince Jamal want all this.
This all looks suspicious, but you guys are all right.
But it doesn't make sense because I thought Prince Jamal was deposed. If Prince Jamal was deposed and Ali had taken the place of the leader of this territory, then he should just be like, I'm the leader here. Sure. We're moving on through.
But just when you have time to start thinking about that, then
it's like a secret coup.
Yeah,
that nobody knows about.
But then who has time for that when all of a sudden, boom, here's a weird giant Griffin character.
Yeah.
And what the fuck is that thing?
The Decepticons have reached a second hangar, and they're reassembling the jets from the cars that they assembled earlier. Ali is berating the workers. Blastoff and Vortex transform and take over the project. Blastoff starts to pull the torsos of Slingshot and Skydive. Are they about to be discovered? No! A quick short circuit fake out by Slingshot convinces Blasty Boosters that these planes aren't worth using.
Oh, God.
Again, despite
so
the symbols on the nose.
Fucking
guns.
Bored. Do something. Anybody do something.
These drawings are really good, though. The console inside of them is really nice.
Well, the animation's great.
To your point, what the fuck are the Decepticons doing? In addition to building drone planes, they are, I assuming they're using the plane parts to build that fortress? Griffin Fortress?
No, that just comes out of left field. It's just there. It's a weird one, too. It's like that, I don't know. That flying fortress really stuck with me as something that I couldn't get over. It's bizarre. Why is it there? Do we ever see it again?
Yeah.
Well, in the episode, but...
Oh.
No, I mean just later on.
Not after this.
Oh, so they just abandoned that whole thing.
After this
episode, are you talking about in another episode, or are you talking about after what we're looking at
in
right
another
now?
Episode?
No, it's never in another episode.
Yeah. No, I know it's later on in the episode. I did watch the episode.
I don't take any.
I know, you guys. Nope, I get it.
Don't say guys. You're talking to Ryan.
Okay, guy.
Hey, guy.
What is the point of having your faction symbol show up when you're in vehicle mode anyway? It's supposed to be a robot in disguise.
Well, that with the toy, they were good about, like, you have to rub it with your hand to see what symbol it is. Mm-hmm. They should have that in here, where, like it, you have a, someone, they always
they
have to rub on
they
each
rub
other.
They rub a
like,
nose cone.
Yeah, they rub on, and they're like,
you're
oh, no,
bad guy.
You're a bad, wait a minute.
Run! Pew, pew! Hassan has helped rebuild the aerial bots, so they got their arms and legs back. But Slingshot's still missing some parts. They slap the prince's Rolls-Royce grill on his chest to finish the job. Hassan is convinced the prince won't be mad about the car getting used to help him out. Next question. Can Hassan help procure a weapons console for Slingshot as well?
It looks really stupid.
Does he flip it around, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So that it's... Why?
The chest piece, the Rolls-Royce grill, he flips it around. I don't know.
So that it looks more like him? So it's there.
It's there right now.
Yeah.
Let's keep an eye on it, though.
Yeah.
Hey, listener, Ryan here. I just wanted to ask at this point, does any of this that we're talking about make any sense to any of you? Especially for those of you who haven't watched this episode. I mean, I watched it, took notes, reviewed it with my friends, and as I'm editing this, I'm still fucking lost. We tried to make it as clear and linear as to what was happening, but it's fucking nuts. You know what? This shit is nuts. I'm gonna say it, maybe the worst episode yet. That's my personal opinion. That does not reflect the feelings of the rest of the APDC crew. Let me know, listener, does this make any sense? I'm really genuinely curious. All right, that's enough of future Ryan. Back to the action. That's in quotes, action. Fucking nuts.
Hassan is spying on these Kurdish Union boys, loading up parts in Megatron's Divine Beast. Skydive gets a signal. Silverbolt and the bros are on their way. Megatron and company activate the drone jets just to take out the aerial bots.
What could be more fun than watching drone planes controlled by Decepticons?
That can already fly. Yep. While those drone planes are launched to take out the aerial bots, Hassan sneaks in Megatron's bird shuttle thing. The aerial bots are outnumbered. Skydive joins the fray. Hassan begs Slingshot, wait until he can get that weapons console. Meanwhile, the aerial bots are getting some drone jet kills in. Megatron's feathered fortress is completed and sets its sight on the aerial bots, and that's where we go to commercial.
But that's why the Decepticons don't like engage straight ahead, because like Megatron, because they need to get their money's worth out of like going inside and justifying using the Griffin. Mm-hmm. Like I could attack the Autobots, but I really need to go in and I need to fly around in this Griffin.
It's just throwing good money after bad.
Yes, exactly. Still good animation. Good animation.
This is another part where a bunch of lines drop out, like half-finished words and sentences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like right here. Actually, play the audio. There. Then he finishes it back here.
Night and transform to Bruticus.
Yeah, it's like they just cut out like...
Part of me was wondering if it was just my version and if you all, what you watched it on was
different. Same thing.
No, it just, okay. They just cut out like all the weird the words there. And it's like kind of like, what's going on? Yeah. Anyway.
Well, we returned from commercial. The fortress is taking some really close shots at the aerial bots. Slingshot assaulted Onslaught, which caused him to kind of get his cannons out of target. And he popped Ramjet. Then Swindle and Brawl pulled Slingshot off. They fire at him. He does some impressive somersaulting to dodge their laser fire. And that's when Blastoff attempts to ram him. And failing that, he commands, which I guess is Blastoff the leader of the... I thought Onslaught was. But he commands them to merge to form Bruticus.
He's got another combiner.
Slingshot doesn't want to let that happen. Weapons console or not, he transforms and flies. He lands on Blastoff to prevent the Bruticus formation. Meanwhile, Hassan has found the technology that he was looking for, but the fortress is going into flight mode, so he can't escape the fortress to provide the weapon system to Slingshot.
Oh, is anybody still awake from that description?
It's a slow burner.
It's a no burner.
It's an incense burner. They finally do form Bruticus. And I do think the transformation sequence is awesome.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's good stuff.
Great shading, great layers of bright and dark points.
And then, Griffin's hair is tentacles?
Yeah, it's got like tentacle hair.
So Slingshot ends up in the Griffin, on the Griffin, and its mane, its lion's mane, yes, is actually tentacles.
With
and...
like that shuddery insect sound.
Cicadas.
He's captured. Bruticus flung him into that castle. Bruticus just starts punching aerial bots out of the air. And without Skydive, they can't form their own giant. So when things seem lost, you know who saves the day?
Hassan.
It's Hassan.
Yeah, he calls Slingshot Afendi, which is the Ottoman Turkish word I was talking about. It means priest, father, master, or boss.
Cool.
And he puts the weapons console in him.
Oh, I went too.
And then they form a superior. Yeah.
Puts the weapons console in him, which I guess gave him the ability to have a gun.
Oh, we just missed a part two where inside of Slingshot, Hassan gets inside of Slingshot and they fly away. And then Slingshot straight up does the snow speeder on Hoth maneuver against,
yes,
Bruticus.
Mm-hmm.
Wrapping up his legs in a tow cable. I like that part where Slingshot also shoots the tentacles off of him, because as the way he brings his gun up, I was like, I hope he shoots himself in the head. This episode has too much and not enough going on.
The Jets, they start to attack Bruticus, but now that Slingshot is in the game, you know what it's time for.
Yay!
It's Superion time.
The Bruticus grunting in just a little bit as he fights Superion is very weird. It sounds like he's like taking a hard dump.
Okay.
Is it like that?
Nope.
Here's your Hoth scene. He doesn't even try to stop it from happening.
Slingshot, you did it!
Hi, guys. Anything going on? It's about time you got here. Aerialbots, unite and transform into Superion!
Is that how you do it?
Okay.
That's not even what I was talking about.
Oh. Ooh.
It's the last we see of the Griffin.
I should take this opportunity to call out that the Griffin attacks Superion. He's got more to contend with than just Bruticus. Megatron flies in, the fortress fires on him, and after all the effort in creating this ship, Superion slays it with just, I guess, a kick, a somersault kick thing, which flips the fortress into the oil field. Megatron might have to do a Griffin recall.
I don't get it.
Griffin Bacall, that's the animation company that produces these. There's the advertise. Oh, you know what? Let's move on.
Good reference.
Megatron, you promised me world domination!
That was it!
So
I watched that twice and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's good.
So that guy is upset and he's talking to Megatron and he does not cut away from him. And then the grunting that is presumably Megatron comes out of his mouth.
Do it again.
It's really weird.
I love it.
Megatron, you promised me world domination.
They did a great job of matching his lips up to Frank Welker's
screaming.
Why?
Why?
They were confused about who was saying what.
Okay, let's. Oh, I want to hear this.
You'll be lucky if I let you live, fool.
Comical oil slip and fall.
Is that it, Ryan?
I don't care.
That was, I thought that was an interesting move. Superion strategically separates to olay the Bruticus bull charge.
Mm-hmm. It's so long.
Does Bruticus ever talk?
Yeah.
He got words.
He just grunts a lot.
They're all kind of dumb words, though. Bruticus does a bull charge. The aerial bots separate and dodge out of the way. He flips onto the ground. Is there any more action?
Yeah, the aerial bots ignite a fucking oil field fire.
Yeah. The sky bots blow the oil field.
Oh,
and
nice.
With that, the battle is won.
They ignite the oil. Yeah. Great.
And the explosion
blasts.
Blasts everybody, all the good, the bad guys, as far away as all the mega. Everybody is just flying. Even Bruticus in full Bruticus form is just thrown miles and miles and miles into the sky. We close things out. The aerial bots are they're scolding Ali for his scheme, but it's not their jurisdiction. You got to let Prince Jamal handle this. If only we could find... Fuck, how did we not see Jamal was Hassan the whole time?
Yeah, we have a real prince and the pauper situation here. So Hassan's the prince.
But also, Ali deposed the prince, but every time he saw him out in the bazaar, he was just like,
"But
young scab."
But also, if he's the prince and ruler of the kingdom, doesn't that just make him a king? Why is he still a prince? Or is his father off somewhere? Or mother? I don't have the answers.
Before we depart, Slingshot's Rolls-Royce's chest...
Oh, my God.
...makes a magical appearance.
It appears and disappears.
And serves as the butt of a joke that's just... It's just too much for me to spoil here. The Autobots all laugh as Ali is decapitated, which is the final clue that confirmed this whole episode actually takes place in Saudi Arabia. Mystery solved.
Oh, okay.
What? I wrote down that I thought this was a Jacob's Ladder situation where this whole episode's a dying brain.
Whose?
Whoever. They're lucky.
I just want to watch this chest piece again. It's not there.
No, it appears and disappears.
Yeah, watch it slowly.
But not even off camera. It does it on camera.
If they want to gaslight us into believing it was there the whole time, yeah, just show us at the cut. Don't make it appear. There's not much to say about this.
It's weird.
This makes me remember the Super Mario Brothers comic book I made when I was a kid, where at the end, Luigi goes, "Hey, did we ever fix that woman's plumbing?" And Mario turns, winks at the camera, and says, "Who cares?" I remember it had both Bowser and King Koopa.
That's the ultimate team-up, man.
Ugh, I hated this episode.
Clearly some things are off. Combaticons introduced with no fanfare. The aerial bots, they still suck in their own way, but they're not as bad as they were in prior episodes.
Mm.
You've got a few things going on here for me to talk about, voice actor-wise. Oh, we're at the end of the episode, in case you didn't know. We had Ali, who was voiced by Ed Gilbert, a.k.a. Blitzwing and Sean Berger. Hassan / Prince Jamal was voiced by Mona Marshall, a.k.a. Sheila Broflowski. Swindle and Vortex were voiced by Johnny Hamer, born in St. Louis, Missouri. Johnny Hamer was an actor of screen and voice acting. He was in 20 episodes of MASH as Sergeant Zelmo Zale.
Okay.
He was a delivery man on 8 is Enough, Dr. Duplicator on 16 episodes of Plastic Man, and on 52 episodes of Madam's Place.
What?
He played the role of Walter Pinkerton. He did Spider-Man, Days of Our Lives, Alvin and the Chipmunks, several one-shots on shows such as Punky Brewster, Simon and Simon, G.I. Joe the Jeffersons, and unfortunately, he died in 1989 in Los Angeles. Okay. Born in St. Louis, though.
That's cool. Another Missouri boy.
Complete happenstance of being born near here.
Yeah. We like you more.
Yeah.
Onslaught was voiced by S. Mark Jordan. Onslaught was his primary Transformers role. He did 38 episodes of Days of Our Lives, a couple of Doogie Howsers. He was in 22 episodes of Night Court as a character called Jack Griffin, but I don't remember anything about that character.
Nope.
But I assume he's one of those reoccurring bozos that show is so full of. One shots on Perfect Strangers, Mama's Family, Dream On, Designing Women, Seinfeld, Hill Street Blues. Died July 2014, age 83. Then we've got Brawl, voiced by Tony St. James. These guys' names are getting more awesome as they get I feel like the new actors have better names than the old actors. Handful of B-level bots, including Brawl, of course, Blot, and Cutthroat. Those are Terracons, Ryan.
I like them.
He did an episode of Gem and an episode of Rock. You remember that show?
Yeah, the
He's a trash
with
man.
Charles S. Dutton.
That's right. It is a bit strange because TFWiki had more information on him than even his own IMDb page, but apparently he was a disc jockey and was the voice of Coors Extra Gold. Tragically, he passed away in 1990 at age 42. We beat him, guys.
We did it.
We win. I'm sorry to his family, but we beat him.
We win.
Did we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Blastoff was voiced, my favorite voice, by Milt. I'm going to mess this up. Milt Jamin. J-A-M-I-N. Milt did another grab bag of D-listers. Aimless, Grax, Prime Nova, Styler. Do you know who these people are? No. Probably not. A long list of voice and live action credits going back to 1979. He did a lot of anime, the Lupin series, Galago 13, Robotech, a couple episodes of Dallas, Hill Street Blues, Magnum P.I., Family Ties, Perfect Strangers, Knott's Landing. Did voices on Grand Theft Auto, so video games are a part of the mix, Mad TV, and also on Night Court. And he died January 1st, 2018. And I forgot to look up who did Bruticus. Maybe we'll save that for his special episode.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
In the real world.
Aerial Assault aired December 10th, 1985. In the American Top 40, we have a new number one entry. Ooh. Topping the U.S. charts for 2 weeks in mid-December was Mr. Mister's Broken Wings.
Take these broken wings and learn to fly again. Learn to live so free. When we hear the voices sing, the book of love will open up and let us in. Take these broken wings.
Their second album, Welcome to the Real World, which is, I just realized, that's kind of ironic.
More of a coincidence.
It was...
Good recovery.
Released...
Way to show restraint.
Just as the band was heading out on their tour opening for Tina Turner.
Huh.
This ballad was co-written with lyricist John Lang, inspired by the 1912 poetic novel Broken Wings by Khalil Gibran. In fact, the 1968 Beatles song Blackbird contains an identical lyric to the song, Take These Broken Wings and Learn to Fly, mm-hmm. which Richard Pate just described as a mindless, unintentional reference attributable to both compositions being influenced by the same novel. Sort of like how Robin Williams and Dane Cook were influenced by other comedians.
Don't forget Carlos Mencia.
That seems to be not true.
No, it's true. You haven't seen the Carlos Mencia bit on the child who gives credit to his mother after being a football champion, and then seen that juxtaposed to Bill Cosby telling the exact same joke in 1970 whenever.
Well, maybe I don't really give a shit. Carlos Mencia can be a thief. I don't care. We can throw him in there. It just, from my research, it seemed like it was much more, Robin Williams was a much bigger offender.
Yeah, I've heard about the Robin Williams stuff, but I don't know if you have the notes to go into it right now or even care to.
Basically, the long and short of it is just he tended to just... I guess it was probably a lot different in the 70s and 80s when it was less... From the articles I read and stuff, like, it was just never that uncommon for comedians to steal each other's stuff or, like, have really similar bits, because it's sometimes you don't know where something came from necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I just picture him as doing manic jibber jabber, and I don't know how you steal that. But... yeah,
no, well, one of the defenses is that he just was like a sponge where he soaked up stuff and regurgitated it later. This song's fine. I don't have strong feelings about it, but it's a legit number one, so there you go. At the box office, Rocky IV still holds the top spot through December of 85 into 86, so here's another Jet Fumes favorite. Cool. Apropos for the Halloween season, I chose a movie I'm sure neither of you have heard of called The Mutilator.
I have not.
Nope.
It was written and directed by Buddy Cooper, of which this film is his only credit, and it has a bizarre alternate title, Fall Break, which is not a thing, and the movie seems to make it want to be a thing.
Like Fall Break from school?
Yes.
It is a thing.
It is a thing.
Not in, like, October.
MU is having a fall break because some of the girls are getting together during it, but that's all I know.
Weird. I've never heard of such a thing.
I think it's not common. I never had a fall break.
No, there's spring break, but yeah, fall breaks do occur, but they're not. For example, there's no school on the Friday that we are going to be at TFCon because it's an end of quarter and it's kind of a fall break, but.
Of one day.
Yeah, like I said, it's not substantial. A break's a break, though.
This film opens with an accidental matricidal shooting where a kid shoots his mother while cleaning his father's gun. And when the father comes home, he basically has a complete break with reality and never reconciles or forgives his son. Cut to all grown up and now in college, our main character Ed, who accidentally murdered his mother, gets a call from his weirdo dad asking him to close up the condo on the beach for the season. So Ed and his friends decide to go down there for a fall break.
Mm-hmm.
The cast and crew stayed at a motel nearby during the shooting, which was owned by writer-director Buddy Cooper's family. Buddy now owns the motel himself, and much of the film crew still works there.
That's true.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that then when they get to the condo, Ed's deranged father, who's been hiding in the basement, starts to come out and kill the kids. It's not good or bad enough to be a true 80s horror classic, but there's some good kills. It's really strange. And plus, there's a truly insane song over the opening credits called Fall Break, which sounds like a sitcom starting. And I'll put the whole thing up at the end of this episode,
awesome.
And you can hear it. But it's like, oh, we're going on a fall break. I highly recommend sticking around for that. All right, fun facts from this week in history. My 44th birthday episode is this one. So I was like, who else died at 44? These are in no particular
order.
Who
else? Like you're saying you are going to die?
God, that'd be delightful.
I don't have the podcast on this.
Oh, yeah.
Let's bring in Ernie. Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar in 1993 was shot to death while trying to escape capture. Mary, Queen of Scots, in 1542 was executed by beheading for her involvement in the assassination of Queen Elizabeth I. Steve Irwin, wildlife television personality in 2006, stabbed in the heart by a stingray. But I don't blame that stingray. It was an accident. Musician Billie Holiday in 1959. Technically complications from cirrhosis of the liver, but exacerbated by a bullshit narcotic charge and the discontinuation of her methadone treatment while in custody. If you want to be super sad, look up Billie Holiday's life.
Yeah.
Actor Dustin Diamond... in 2021, who was Screech on Saved by the Bell.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, he died of small cell carcinoma of the lungs. Painter Jackson Pollock in 1956, a single car crash in his Oldsmobile convertible while under the influence of alcohol. Rapper Heavy D in 2011, he died of a pulmonary embolism due to complications from deep vein thrombosis and an extended plane ride. Alexander Litvinenko... in 2006, who was a Russian defector to Britain, assassinated by poisoning with polonium-210 and acute radiation sickness. He's the first and only known fatality from malicious polonium poisoning. And finally, Bridget Driscoll in 1896, the first recorded case of a pedestrian killed by a collision with a motor car.
Oh my gosh.
In London.
God, this just reminds me that there's so many ways to go that I don't even think about.
God, I know. You just like, oh... let
the
it be
possibilities.
Me. Pancreatic cancer. That's a quick, that's a quick
that's
one.
What you want.
It's a fast way to go.
It fills
you in like a month.
Wow, this is a big bummer, man.
That's the real world, bitches. Oh, choke on it.
Thanks, Ryan. Let's deviate from that to the scripts.
Script deviations.
I feel like this may have been one of those instances where a script fell out. And Douglas Booth had to step in and dash something off real quick because it is bad. And I've liked lots of other scripts he wrote, like Roll For It, A Plague of Insecticons, A Decepticon Raider in King Arthur's Court, and Atlantis Arise!
Oh, yes.
Although he also wrote City of Steel, so nobody's perfect. I think ACOM had a lot to do with my hatred of that one, too, though.
Yeah, for sure.
This... alligator is big and heavy.
This is the last of his 10 scripts from Mr. Booth for the show, although he was a consultant on the movie. Speaking of strange facts that the Combaticons are here now out of nowhere, the TF Wiki says that
This happens, quote, chronologically after the Revenge of Bruticus, which it also presumably occurs after War Dawn, which is our next episode, because the aerial bots have no problem fighting Decepticons and aren't jerks towards humans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a deleted scene in the script where Hassan reconstructs Slingshot and Skydive into refrigerators to get them past the border guards.
That's ridiculous.
Awesome. And the trucks transporting the stolen jet parts break down in the desert, and the group steals some camels to tow the trucks. Swindle finds the aerial bots in the crates, but is knocked out and has his memory banks wiped so he doesn't remember it, which is, like, so stupid and pointless that I'm glad it was taken out, but I could say that about everything in here.
Yeah.
And what the fuck was with that griffin?
Yeah, totally, man. I totally agree.
I would have liked a scene with a camel towing a truck, towing Slingshot.
Oh, yeah, like if Hoist breaks down and then yeah. there's a camel hoeing.
Camel
hoeing.
Towing a truck. Towing yeah. Hoist, towing Slingshot.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
At the beginning, we did see an ox towing a car. And that was where I was getting afraid. Like, I was like, oh no, what's this going to be?
What's happening?
You didn't like this episode.
I fucking hated it. I was angry, and it never got better.
Megatron, the thing he wanted was oil. Just take the oil.
That's a lot of...
What's with all this other shit yeah, to yeah. get to the
a
oil?
A drone plane army and a griffin fortress?
Yeah.
It did seem like if that guy was in control of the country, why do you need any of that? Just make a deal with that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buy the oil. They're selling it.
Right.
Well, I'm a little short right now. What is this voice? Am I Yoda?
Like a Miss Piggy or something.
Supposed to be Megatron.
It's Frank Oz. You got Oz down.
Mm. Yeah, the whole deconstruct, reconstruct. That everything about that scheme was unnecessary. Yeah, there's no strong arguments for this episode.
I can't mm-hmm. pull together an iconic moment even.
I mean, seeing Bruticus was neat, but...
Yeah.
Whatever.
The griffin itself is iconic
for
existing.
Strange, bizarro, yeah.
Next time on the Autobot Decepticon.
It's another blast from a time set prior to this current one by many years on Cybertron. Yes, it's a lore episode.
Nice. Love it.
If you like what we do and would like to prove it through the power of fiscal irresponsibility, visit our Patreon. Or if you don't want to make any long-term commitments, check out our APDC store and see if there's some art you like.
Please, I have to get an inspection on my van.
Peep it all AutopodDecepticast/store, patreon.com/apoddcast. Continue to listen. Autopod Decepticast on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, that might be redundant, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn. iTunes, Apple Podcast users, leave us a little review.
5 stars, please.
Follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all of them at APODDCast, and the web presence at AutopodDecepticast.com.
I don't know how I'm going to get that van running.
It might require, like, effort.
Yeah, it's going to have to go to the... there's going to be some repair work involved.
Do you have to
get a camel or an ox to tow it.
What's the point of getting it inspected? You might as well just not register it and just have it sit there like it has been.
Yeah, but unless they change it, I'll have to start going back into the office 3 days a week in January.
See,
that van's paid for, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would suck if you're paying $200 a month for that thing to sit in your driveway.
Yeah, I would say, I even looked up, maybe I'll just get a new car, but they're like thousands of dollars.
Yes, they cost a lot of money.
So stupid.
Yeah. What do you need to do to get your van running to the...
Probably get the leak in the exhaust, like the coolant leak fixed, and who knows what else.
Well, you gotta air up the tire.
That's fine, I have a bike pump.
Oh my God.
I can...
It doesn't take that long.
Okay.
I've done it several times.
All right.
That's why I just let it go flat.
Well, this was a good episode.
Yeah. Bye, bye, bye.
When the leaves of summer turn red and gold, and the football games bring a hint of a cold time to get away.
We'll pack the car with escape in mind. Forgetting about classes, leaving books behind. Time to get away. Empty cottage sitting on the shore. Tourists all left about a month before. And we're gonna have a good time.
Gonna have a good time.
Yeah, we're gonna have a good time.
We're going on now.
A ball break, walking hand in hand in the moonlight. We'll breathe the sweet salt air. I swear we'll never part.
We're going on up.
A ball break, running in the sand, feeling all right. And when you fall into my arms, I'll break into your heart. I can hardly wait to head for the dunes. Spread down the blanket, humming sweet love tunes. Not a soul inside, girl, heaven blessed. Bring a radio, a cooler, and a case of the best, and we'll disappear. And later on, or maybe, who knows, take a swim in the surf and all birthday clothes, and we're gonna have a good time.
Gonna have a
hey,
good
we're
time.
Gonna have a good time.
We're going on a
ball break,
ball break.
Walking hand in hand in the moonlight. So, I swear, we're
never far. We're going on
a ball break, running in the sand, feeling all right. And when you fall into my arms, I'll break into your heart. Shells to collect and plenty of time to get totally wrecked, and we're gonna have a good time.
Gonna have a good
hey,
time.
Hey, we're gonna have a good time.
We're going on
a ball break,
ball
walking
break.
Hand in hand in the moonlight. We'll breathe the sweet salt air, I swear we'll never part.
We're going on
a ball break. Wanna break right into your heart. Oh, baby, I wanna break into your heart.
Brew Cells is the sponsor of Autopod Decepticast. Yes, 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 yes.